Welcome to the Tax Answers Advisor, the podcast where we tackle the real tax frustrations that taxpayers experience who owe the IRS money. You or your F left you a surprise tax bill, or the IRS has sucked money out of your bank account. If this anxiety and frustration keeps you up at night, then keep listening. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by unfiled tax returns, or you're staring down a tax bill that you didn't even create. It just caught you by surprise, and you owe $20,000 or more from actions of your former spouse or dead spouse or some other reason, and you had no idea. And now you're not even sure where to turn. You're not alone and don't have to stay stuck. Each week, we break down understandable tax solutions that can help you get control over your finances, get back your peace of mind, and protect your future, one clear step at a time. Whether you're looking to help yourself or want to support a family member who's facing these tax challenges, this podcast is here to empower you with the knowledge you need to make the next best step. Stay with us for this very special episode so you can know the exact steps you need to take to move forward with confidence and finally get the tax answers you deserve. This week, we have a very special guest, Felicia Dixon, an EA, CTRC, and author now. Pretty exciting.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome there, Felicia. Now, just a quick note here. Are overdue taxes or unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night? Or are you feeling overwhelmed by tax issues stemming from a spouse's dishonest business dealings? Or perhaps you're years behind on filing for yourself? Keep in mind, you're not alone and it's time to take control. We help clients eliminate the feelings of annoyance and embarrassment about owing taxes, ensuring you're not worried about fines, fees, or penalties. We remove the stress and anxiety of dealing with the IRS so you won't face unexpected tax liens or surprises like having your money sucked out of your bank account or even worse. Visit taxreliefcall.com today to schedule your introductory session so you can get on the road to sleeping better at night and having peace of mind. I just want to say here, welcome, Felicia. It's so nice to have you today. How are you doing?
Oh, hello, Marcelino, and thank you for having me today. And I'm wonderful, thank you, even though I'm in this great state of what I call misery because I live in Missouri and it is miserably hot. I say miserably hot. I ran at 7 o'clock or at 6:30 this morning and it was already 78 degrees outside and the heat index is just horrid. So it's hot. Okay.
Well, I am in Colorado and it is hot here too, but we may not have whatever percentage of humidity that you have there. So
yeah, right now it's running about 78%.
Okay. Yeah. No, we're like maybe 20%. So we're not quite as in misery as you are. Well, Felicia, could you just go and give a little bit of introduction of yourself and share some of your background with our listeners?
Absolutely. So as he already gave me my name is Felicia Dixon. I'm an enrolled agent. I'm a certified tax resolution consultant and accredited tax advisor. I am a newly published author as of the beginning of this year. I have 46 years in practice. Not new to the ballgame, but you know what? There's something new to learn every day. So even though I'm at it, there's something new every day that we can learn. I have a unique background because I don't just do tax returns in the concept. As a matter of fact, I don't do tax season at all any longer. I gave that up this year. I'm strictly in the resolution niche, but I also have a music background. I have a dance background. I have dabbled in pyrotechnics. So I've kind of made myself dabble around, you know, kind of tested the waters here and there and everywhere. So, but this is where I enjoy myself.
Yes. Well, you do have to enjoy this niche that we're in. And as I've mentioned on other broadcasts that this is a niche within taxes, tax resolution, which is what we focus on. Mm-hmm. And today, we're going to step just a little bit inside and outside of tax resolution, because being that this podcast is targeting more Colorado Springs, a big military town, I wanted to have you visit with us today, Felicia, because we do have with a lot of military to work with here. It's important that they know how to get stuff done. And because that is one of your areas of big specialty, it's really good to get this information and to help them because they come and go a lot, just like on any military base. It's good to provide some resources for them to be able to take care of business because our military is our taxpayers, just like all of us are.
Absolutely. And you brought up a good point is that you live next really close to a big military base. I live 26 miles from the second largest military base in the US, which is Fort Leonard Wood. So I too see a lot of military personnel in and out. I also sit on the veterans board in my hometown, as well as I'm very active with the veterans our fort committee that reports back to the fort as well. So I do see a lot of this, and it is a unique concept for our military, but they are the lifeline of our country, and we want to make sure that they're taken care of, and we want to make sure that they have the resources that they need and they understand what it is that they're doing and making sure that they do it correctly and they're taking advantage of what's out there for them to take advantage of.
Oh yes, definitely there. So let's then jump, go ahead and jump right in here. One question we had is that what are some of the most common tax issues that active duty military members face when filing their tax returns?
I think I find the most common issue that most military face is one, their tax home, because they get confused as to where they're really at because they do move around a lot. And so filing in which state, and that is the big issue. A lot of state issues that happen with our military personnel. I find that there's more state issues than there are federal issues.
Yes, which is in the tax field can always be a challenge, especially with the military, because they do move around a lot. And so, yeah, home base can get very tricky for them.
That's to say, with just adding to that is that, not only is it just their home base, but their spouse's home base. And when they're in their duty station, where are they going? Is their income outside that? Those kinds of things. And I think we'll get into that a little later as we talk, as we walk through things. But just keeping that in mind, that those are some of the big caveat that most of our military personnel run into.
Yes. So then when it comes to deployments, changes in duty stations, living overseas, I mean, how do these turn around and affect the service members' tax obligations and filing requirements?
So, there are they do re there they do frequently relocation. When I say that, they're deployment or they're overseas, or maybe they're just moving duty station to duty stations inside the United States. So they often face difficulties in collecting necessary documentation because they are moving, and sometimes they don't get a change of address, because maybe they're having their address come to their home in which their duty station is at. And now all of a sudden, because maybe their W-2s, that's where their W-2s are going to, right? And so now they move duty stations and the change of address didn't quite get there. So they have trouble getting necessary tax documents, W-2s, 1099s, and ensuring timely filing. This is an issue, and it's exasperating when the mail delivery is delayed or inconsistent, enduring deployments. And I say that with all respect because even in this little hometown of ours, our mail delivery, I've seen it delayed 3 days just in the last week.
Oh my. Yeah, especially for military, that can really be difficult. The mail catching up with them, because just being non-military, we know the challenge. Throw in the military part,
Exactly.
that adds another layer, essentially. It sounds like to that. So, how about the difference when it comes to state residency rules for military personnel? How does that impact when it comes to state income tax?
So state residency rules for military personnel are designed to simplify their tax obligations, right? However, understanding and applying the rules specifically under the MSRA, which is for spousal, the spouses, what state do they live in, or what state of residency are they accepting? Because now they have, since 2018, the law has changed and they can now select the same as the military personnel. So, as same as their spouse, whichever, and I'm saying spouse, but not him or her, because it could be one or the other. It could be the wife that's in the service and the husband that's at home, and it could be the husband that's in service and the wife at home, or you could have both. And it's critical to ensure that compliance and minimizing the state tax liability. So, military members should carefully track their duty station and their non-military income to file accurate state tax and income tax returns. That's very important because what that means is there's a lot of duty stations. Let's take Fort Leonard Wood, for example. We have a lot of military personnel that come in. Their duty station is Fort Leonard Wood, but their tax home is Texas. the spouse's tax home could be somewhere else, wherever she chooses. So let's say she chooses North Carolina, but then they have income. She decides, or he decides to work, whichever one is not in the service, mm-hmm. decides to work in that state. Once you've chosen to work in the state in which your duty station is, you now have an obligation to file a state tax return within that state, even though you're a non-resident. So those are really important things to remember, that just because your duty station or your home of record is not in the state of which your duty mm-hmm. station is, you are still obligated to pay taxes in that state if you have income outside of the military mm-hmm. income.
Yeah. So like, I'll just say they go work at an attorney's office or go do whatever their profession
they
is.
They can work at Walmart or anywhere. Mm-hmm. And if that's what they choose to do, great. I get it. But they have to remember that that income is taxable inside that state in which mm-hmm. that income was derived from. Mm-hmm.
But the only difference is because of the residing section, they'd be filing as a non-resident. Am I saying that correct?
That is absolutely correct. They would then become a non-resident state for the state in which their duty station is in and still file a resident state tax return as normal in the state in which, if they're in a state that passed income taxes. So let's say the state of Missouri, if I have clients that go to Kansas and are mm-hmm. duty stationed in Kansas, they still have to file a state of Missouri tax return.
Mm-hmm. As compared to if their duty station was in Kansas, but then they were a resident of Texas, which has no income tax, they wouldn't even have to worry about a resident
right.
income
Texas,
tax return there.
Florida, there are others. Yes.
Yeah, there's a few others there, but they'd still have the non-resident tax return for Kansas in that particular example there. So those are some challenges that they have definitely there. So how about unique tax benefits or exclusions available specifically for military members at civilians may not know about?
And that's a good question. So not only would the civilian not know about them, but they're not also going to get any of them because they're not military. They're specific to the military. And these exclusions include, combat pay. Combat pay is not taxable. Disability retirement pay. Now, remember, notice I said disability mm-hmm. retirement pay, mm-hmm. not just retirement pay. Mm-hmm. Housing. Our military do get a housing allowance for wherever they're going to help them, unless they live on base, mm-hmm. then their housing allowance is not taxable. Provisions that are designed to recognize and unique sacrifices and challenges faced by our military personnel. So these are outside of the norm. Our normal citizens would not know this unless they have somebody in their home, which in today's world really happens a lot. There's a lot of homes that have a military individual inside their home base, their mm-hmm. family. I know this firsthand. My dad was a 33-year command sergeant major. Mm-hmm. And then my stepmother was also a veteran. My late husband was a Vietnam Marine. My current mm-hmm. husband is an Army vet. So, and his mm-hmm. he's disabled. So mm-hmm. his disability pay is not taxable.
Okay. Well, yes. And that's definitely true because my stepfather was 100% disabled veteran. And he had pay for his disability that was non-taxable, military related, but then he had other income from other sources that was taxable.
Yeah. My dad had retirement income. His military retirement mm-hmm. pay was 100% taxable to the federal government. Even though it's military, mm-hmm. it's still mm-hmm. taxable like any other retirement mm-hmm. income is. Mm-hmm. It's the state derivative that makes it kind of different. This on every state taxes mm-hmm. the income from military retirement.
Yeah, some states have an exclusion, like Colorado has that retirement exclusion, and it's pretty broad. And it includes military retirement and other forms of retirement income there. So yeah, good points to keep in mind on some of those differences there that exist. Now, we've touched on this a little bit, but anybody that's been in the military, they know that or have a family, and they move quite often. And so with this movement, though, how about tax deductions or credits that help them when they do need to move when it comes to the moving expenses or home-related costs?
So as we just mentioned, there are certain allowances for the basic housing allowance, the basic allowance for substance for their moving are not taxable. So if they are provided the income as a norm, it would hit their W-2 and it's, they'll also have an exclusion on there for the part that is non-taxable. It can also, for the pieces that are not included in their income, right? So it's not reimbursed. This can be deducted just like any other moving expense on the form 3903 moving expenses. That's how you're going to claim it. The move must be due to military order, though. Mm-hmm. It's not just because of personal reasons. So, and the nice thing about this one outside of regular moving. So in the old days that we, if you moved and you moved for a job, it had to be a certain period mm-hmm. or distance. In this case, it has to be military ordered. So that mm-hmm. doesn't matter whether you move from Fort Scott, Kansas, or in Missouri to Fort Leonard Wood, there's no distance regulations there. It's just saying we're moving duty stations and you have mm-hmm. active duty orders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, active duty orders. Keywords there. Yes, which we have to look for and to keep in mind if you want to take that particular deduction. Now, you mentioned a little bit about combat pay, and we can even extend into hazardous duty pay. How do those impact taxable income and refund eligibility?
So combat pay is excluded from gross income for federal purposes, which means there's no state income taxes on that as well, because generally the state does follow the federal. So combat pay in general is excluded, and it will not show up on the W-2 because it's combat pay. Mm-hmm. Hazard pay on the other side of that is generally taxable, and it is included in your gross income. There's no special exclusion, unlike combat pay, for hazard pay, unless they're obviously overseas and they're on deployment. So if they're overseas and they're going to get that either way, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really say it's combat, because you can be overseas and not in combat. Mm-hmm. So people that go to Germany and then serve in Germany, you know, they have that as well. So it does affect their refunds, because now it could increase their refund because they have income that's not taxable. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if we think about that, if somebody goes and they are deployed and now they have, let's say they do hypotheticals here, they make $50,000 total gross, but $25,000 of that was due to deployment. Now their taxable income is only $25,000 versus the $50,000. So that can be a huge differential.
Good information to know on those differences there as well. Wasn't there, I can't think of mine, but wasn't there like a provision where even though the combat pay wasn't taxable, but it could be used to help qualify for another credit or something?
It could help qualify for the earned income tax credit.
Okay.
You know, so yes, there mm-hmm. are reasons that you'd want to know how much your combat pay is mm-hmm. so that you can get all the credits that you have due to you.
Okay. Yes, definitely. That's what I was trying to think of there, because I remember reading it and I was like, I haven't had to apply it yet. That's why I had to double check with you on that one, because like that's a biggie to me. It's very important. Just like all of this is important there. So how about getting on the more of the resolution side? Military members, just like anybody else, any taxpayer can fall behind. And that can be due to deployment or some type of financial hardship. So when they need help getting caught up on this, or if they get one of those letters from the IRS that we all just love, because we love the IRS anyway, what options they have available to get these resolved? Once again, catch up, avoid penalties, those kind of areas.
So the big thing here is, you know, to note that there's several options available, starting with the 180-day extension. So they can mm-hmm. file a 180-day extension for moving, if they're moving and they mm-hmm. have duty option, if they're moving duty stations and or if they're doing deployment. So they have the option to do an extension. So first and foremost, make sure that you do that. Make sure you keep, I will always tell my military clients, make sure you keep a copy. Mm-hmm. Mind you, of your active duty record. Keep it on file, because not only would you might have to provide that to the IRS to prove your active duty status, but you also may have to provide that to a state. I know the state of Missouri, when we file taxes here and we say you're active duty, they want a copy of your active duty records. They want to mm-hmm. see that document that says, yes, I am active duty until whenever your commission is over. So keep those records handy. The other thing to note too here is that if a military person falls behind, it is very important for them to get caught up as quickly as possible, because it does affect a lot of service members' security clearances.
Yes.
And that's very important because depending on your clearance depends on whether or not this can be detrimental to your job. And I say that my daughter and prior son-in-law, who were stationed in Hawaii, he fell behind. They literally called me and said, we have to do something because if we don't do XYZ before a certain date, he's going to lose his security clearance, which then would impact his job.
That is news to me. I didn't realize it was that serious or that important that they stay current on their tax. Now, I really appreciated the point you brought up about the states and how important some of those documents are for the states, because you and I both know that regardless if it's military or non-military, sometimes the states, when it comes to documentation, are much more demanding than the IRS is.
Absolutely. They're very stringent in what they want. So that being said, so going back to income, you get a W-2, right? Make sure you keep a copy of that W-2, because if you don't, there's no way to proof up the state withholding if we don't have that documentation. So it all goes hand in hand. All of your documents need to be kept in a very secure place. Keep it digitally if you can. Keep it online. Keep a folder. But keep it somewhere where you know you can get access to it at any time, because you never know when you're going to need it. And those W-2s are vital. And the active duty records are vital when it comes to the state.
Yes. So definitely keep in mind that you may get things cleared up pretty easily with the IRS, but whatever state you're dealing with could then be a whole nother animal, because it is a whole nother Department of Revenue.
That's right.
They could ask for stuff that the IRS never even bothered, because the IRS felt we don't need that. But the state may say, we want this. And then we get this blank look on our face like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so exactly. And the active duty record is a good example of that one. When you file your tax return, as a norm, the IRS does not ask for a copy of your active duty records, but the state will. I have ran into a lot of states that want to see a copy. They want you to attach the PDF to your tax return when you're electronically filing it so that it goes with the return. So that does happen quite often.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind. And once again, just like everything in dealing with taxes, documentation, 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 because you never know what form or what random thing a Department of Revenue could ask for. And we always say good records for the IRS is important, but I stress it's even more important for any state you're dealing with, because they can get really grumpy.
Yeah, they do. And they're harder to deal with, actually, than the IRS can be. In the long haul of things. I mean, there's a lot of states out there that are very hard to deal with. And, you know, having talked to some of our other colleagues, some of these states out here are just crazy to deal with. Mm-hmm. And it takes time and it takes patience and it takes documentation. Document, 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 as you already said.
Mm-hmm. Definitely there. So as far as you've touched on some of these about getting the extension for military members and so on, reminding them to do that. But what other programs, or perhaps we have IRS policies that if you have a military member that's facing a tax debt or unfiled returns, what programs can assist them in those?
So the best thing that they could do is they can go on base. VITA is on base. So they can go to VITA and they can get help that way, or they can reach out to someone like us, a professional that can help them get caught up and get them going where they need to, in the right direction. Let's get them moving in the right direction so that they stay in that directive. You know, there really is no real active relief outside of the extensions that says, hey, look, you didn't file your taxes for the last 2 years. Now you need to get caught up. Well, they're in the same boat that you and I would be in. Unfortunately, there is no real special relief just because they're military.
Yes. And that's why I wanted to ask that, to clarify that, because sometimes, like everything else, there's this misinformation all everywhere about this and about different things, especially when it comes to tax. There's so much junk out there, and we want to make sure we put good stuff and accurate stuff out there. And basically, it's just go get caught up. Go get it done.
That's it. Exactly.
Use resources available.
And there are, you know, I mean, if they need legal resources, obviously, you know, JAG's on base. They can always go to the JAG office. But Invita's going to be there to do it for free. I will say, and nothing against FIDA in general, but just pay attention to your returns. Mm-hmm. Because I have seen some really good ones and some really bad ones that have come off base. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like any other professional. We just want to make sure that you pay attention to your own return and mm-hmm. you review it and make sure that everything on it appears to be as correct as you know it to be.
Okay, excellent. That's good advice for anybody when they're dealing and working on their taxes is how mm-hmm. often does anybody, they just get it, leave it in the PDF file or leave it in the folder and never look at it again unless they need to get it for a loan or something. So it's always good to review that. And I'm always surprised sometimes. I'm like, oh, you looked at your tax return? I mean, I honestly get a surprised look. Oh, you looked at it? Because you and I both know taxpayers, many of them don't even look at it.
Nope. They just sign it and say, it's done here. Go do this. And, you know, they should not. And especially in the military, wants to make sure that their returns are done and good to go. Because as you mentioned, you know, for home, let's just take a home loan. They're going now to get a VA home. They can, mm-hmm. they're going to borrow money to get a loan. And so they need one, their DD-214, if they have it. If they're not out of the military yet, they need their active duty records. They need to be able to prove that they're in the military. They need to prove that that return, that their filing is correct. And the thing that's important here is that a lot of military personnel live in one state and they think they're going to be there for a while. So they buy a home. Now, that doesn't change their home of record. It just means they've bought a home because they didn't want to live on base and therefore they're living on their own, right? Mm-hmm. Now they've changed duty station. They get the orders that they're being moved to a new mm-hmm. duty station. What do they do with the home? They either have to sell it or they rent it. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of other state complications come into play because they have rental property in a state they don't live in. So mm-hmm. that will require a non-resident state filing, as well as they need to make sure it's on their federal return properly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that seems like something, a rental home in another state that for a military member, I've seen that on the civilian side some, but for a military member, I can see where that can get a little complex in dealing with that. And because they may not have even intended to have that, but
and most just don't. Most feel they're going to be in that duty station for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So they feel like buying a home is the right thing to do. But mm-hmm. as we all know, it's the government. And mm-hmm. when they decide that it's time for your duty station to be moved because of XYZ, whatever their reasoning behind it is, you move. And I see it a lot. I have a lot of friends that are military that I see. He moves and she stays because they have a home. Or mm-hmm. vice versa, you know, whoever's in the mm-hmm. service member moves and they go to the duty station and they travel back and forth to and mm-hmm. from home.
Yeah. So, and that's even more potential issues. So, but that's why we're here to help you deal with those and work through those challenges. So,
in keeping in mind too, something that I will say that if you are a service member and your duty station is one location and your spouse is living in another. So like, I know of one couple in general that his duty station is in Kansas and she lives here. He travels back and forth on the weekends. Hmm. Keeping in mind that travel is non-deductible travel. Mm-hmm. And I get asked that a lot. Well, can we take the expense? And I'm like, unfortunately, no, because his duty station is in that state, and that is where he's stationed to work. He comes home because he wants to come home. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, unlike a reservist, an Army reservist that goes to their weekend tours, or their 2 weeks out of the summer, mm-hmm. and they're doing their duty, they can take some travel expenses. That's an above the line deduction, providing they're not reimbursed. But again, it's a temporary duty station. It's not a permanent duty station.
Exactly.
And the word there to keep in mind is temporary.
Yes. Temporary. The wording, the language means everything. All of that is very important when it comes to, once again, looking at accuracy of the tax return and having the right phrases and just everything exactly how it lines up to be there.
I tell people a lot of times, if you don't understand the terminology, ask, because it's important, because what may mean something to your professional is preparing your return and what it means to you could be totally opposite. And so it's important that you're both on the same page with the terminology so that you understand what it is that they're saying on your tax return that is or is not correct.
Yes. So now I really wanted to touch on this part here is that you have a military member who's been in the military for years dealing with the tax issues, going through all of that. But now they're going from military life, transitioning to being a civilian. So what kind of tax-related issues should they need to be aware of as it comes to income, benefits, deduction changes? Because they're used to one way for a while, and now it's a total transition out. So how does that...
Well, the first thing they have to remember is that their duty station is no longer their home, right? So depending on where they end up, do they go back to their home of record? You know, maybe they go back to Texas where there's no state taxes. No problem, right? Or maybe I see it a lot here at Fort Leonard Wood. I see a lot of the retirees stay and they build their life. They decide to retire here. And this is where they're going to finish out their retirement days. And that's great. But now they have to home of record have always been Texas is now Missouri. Mm-hmm. So their home of record changes depending on where they wind up living. Mm-hmm. No different than any others. And where do you live? That's where your home of record is. Once you transition into civilian life, you confirm your tax home. The changes are unlike any active duty. You don't have any benefits other than you've transitioned out. Now you have retirement pay. Are you getting disability pay? Are you getting retirement pay? Are you getting both? Because you can get disability retirement pay. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting disability pay, that's not taxable. Mm-hmm. The other caveat here, I would say, is look at your state of record and make sure you understand the state rules as to whether or not your retirement pay is taxable or not. That's also going to play a big factor into your where you want to go. And every state has a different rule beyond no income tax.
Yeah. So that's once again, transitioning. That's why it's important to have a good tax professional in your corner to help you to navigate through these challenges, because you can start having sleepless nights just over tax issues.
I found too, in my years of practicing, that a lot of my military stay, when they start with me, they stay with me and I just follow them from duty station to duty station because I understand their tax situation, you know, especially if they've got rental properties and that kind of stuff. Or they have children or, you know, whatever the case is, I just travel around. I have one individual that I've started here at Fort Leonard Wood, and then he went to Massachusetts and then he came back and then he went to Kansas and he's just bounced around. I've just followed along with him. Wherever he happens to land, I land with him. So it's, you know, if you can find a really good professional that understands your records and what's going on in your life, especially in the military, and the fact that you do jump from duty station to duty station, or that you're in one spot and she's in or he's in another, it's important to hang on to them. And if you can at all possibly hang on to them, it makes life easier for the individual because now you know that the person that you're dealing with understands who you are and you're not starting over.
Exactly. So that's important. And even I would think even today with all the wonderful things of e-signature and client portals that so many of us use, makes it even easier for the military to keep with that one person because then you're not having to deal with the U.S. mail and wait and see if it gets on time or not.
That is correct. The only thing, once again, we're back to that caveat. If you move duty station, make sure if you're using that duty station as your mailing address, that you change the mailing address because as wonderful as DFAST is, and DFAST is the Department of Defense that mails out the W-2s, that's where our military gets paid from. As wonderful as they are, they make mistakes and they don't always get your home change your duty station changed on your W-2. So you may lose it. And if you have a spouse that is not in the military, that's working outside the home, and again, you've changed duty stations and they go with you, right? You need to make sure that the mailing address is changed properly so that all records get sent to you.
Yes. Records. That's the key word. Records, paperwork, everything that we just love, but we got to keep it up. Especially when you are moving around in the military, just keeping them as accurate as possible. And it's probably the last thing on your mind
Oh, for most of them, it is just because they're thinking, I've got to move duty stations now. I have a home to pack up. Because even if they're living on base, they still have a home to pack up. And if they have children, now they have a home. They have to get the kids ready. The kids have to move schools. I mean, there's so much more that they're thinking about. And it's not, oh, well, it's going to come tax time in 6 months. I need to make sure that I have my address changed so that my home of record is where my documents are going to come to.
Yes. So basically, we want to remind you, get your address changed, get your documents lined up. If you have a checklist you're making for moving, make sure that is on that checklist and you check those boxes off, because you want to make sure you keep up. And just something I learned today is that if you have certain security clearances, got to make sure you keep your taxes current, because
That's right. And that goes with any financial situation with security clearance. I mean, there's a lot of other things that come into play with that, but your taxes are one of them. And I think it's because, from what I've been told, and I don't know this factually, but I have been told that the way the military looks at it, they say if you can't handle this, then you can't handle the clearance that they've given you. And so, which, in some ways makes sense. In other ways, I don't think that's totally true because sometimes out of sight, out of mind, right? We just forget. And bad things happen to good people. Our military are good people, and sometimes they get deployed, and they bounce around so much, and they just lose sight of timing.
Yes. So let's try to keep the timing in mind. Felicia, I just want to thank you so much for this very insightful conversation today. That could be so much help to our military families, those who may have just arrived into the area, or maybe those who have a new duty station recently assigned. These insights are just very valuable for them. So just as a way to kind of conclude up here, anything else you want to go ahead and mention that would be important for the military members to keep in mind?
I think we've talked about a lot of it. And the only thing that we can reiterate is document, document, document. Keep those documents, keep them somewhere safe or in a place where you can readily get to them. And if you do change professionals, if you go from one professional to the other, or if you're having them done on base, keep in mind that one base doesn't talk to the other base. So just because you had a base in Fort Leonard Wood doesn't mean when you get to Fort Hood that they're going to have the records that the people on at Fort Leonard Wood would have. So keep your documentation, keep your tax returns, make sure you have copies, and again, review them, ask questions, and make sure you understand what they are.
Yeah, make sure you have, in one way or another, either the hard paper copies printed out, or if you have some type of electronic system you're using or online storage sites, make sure you have your copy downloaded and on there. Keep those records neatly organized where you can easily get to them, because that could be a big difference between whether you're stressed out come tax time, or if you can have a nice calm, get it done, as calm as you can be about taxes. So.
And that's a very true statement because even on a thumb drive, I would tell people probably don't put it on a thumb drive because thumb drives can get lost so easily, especially in a move. But it is important, especially when you have other things going on outside of the military. That example of the rental property in another state, you need to make sure you have those records because you have depreciation and the schedules that all go along with that. So we want to look at all of those moving forward and the importance of the mail. Think about not just your W-2, but mortgage interest statements that come from the mortgage company on that rental property. All of these things play into factors. And again, we're getting right back to that. Documentation is vital, and it's important to make sure you make all of the right choices in the beginning. So the first thing you would do, in my world, would be go straight to the post office and change your address effective a certain day.
So let's keep all these wonderful points in mind. Again, Felicia, it's been wonderful providing these reminders for all the military members who just need to keep up on taxes just like anybody else does. So feel free to listen to this as many times you need to get it, or contact us. We'll be happy to help you work through these, because after all, keep in mind, if there's shame or frustration from having an unfiled tax return and it's just haunting you, you don't have to feel burdened, isolated, or victimized by these tax issues. It can be very daunting. And keep in mind, you don't have to face it alone. So you can transform all of that exposure and vulnerability, turns into optimism, and you can have confidence. Where can you start? You can start by visiting taxreliefcall.com today, schedule an introductory session, and guess what? You'll be on the journey to a better night's sleep and peace of mind. I want to thank you so much for listening to the Tax Answers Advisor today. And together, we can make tax time less taxing.